Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. I am still in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. This is going to kind of be our last scouting combine talk. I have one and only John Keim sitting to my right. Keim, what's up, man?
What up, man?
Thank you for spending some time. Keim and I set the scene for you. We are sitting in pretty comfortable chairs.
Nice, and you get the sun coming through a little bit, enough to warm you up.
Yeah,
this it's comfortable.
We're in the Indiana Convention Center, which is where most of the combine stuff takes place. Now, they're not the field, the drills on the field, the cone drills, the 40 times, that's in Lucas Oil Stadium. But the bench press is here, all the media stuff is here, all the interviews are here. Matt Paris is here from the Washington Times. I'm not a convention planner, John, but this seems like a really nice facility. All right, let's talk about the business at hand a little bit. Let me ask you this. Let's start here. What do you think the business at hand is for you and I to talk about the Redskins? Is the conversation Kirk? Because that's all anybody asks me about.
That is all anybody talks. Anytime you see anybody, where do you think he's going to go? And I don't care what level of a team they're what level they're in that organization. It's all about him.
Any person I've talked to out here, agent, scout, front office, other media, or just like bartenders, waitresses, like the conversation is Kirk.
It is. Where's he going to go?
Yeah.
Where do you think he's going to go? I've gotten that question so many times. That's why people wonder why we always talk about it, is because that's what people are talking about. On a national level, this is what people are talking about.
Absolutely.
And it's a very intriguing situation. Like, and I talk to agents too, and it's intriguing for them because, you know, they're watching how this all plays out, and how did Kirk Cousins' side handle this compared to the Redskins? What can they learn from this whole situation as far as how is leveraging a situation? And like one guy was telling me, he's like, teams will be afraid to use the franchise tag on a quarterback in the future
because
of the situation.
I think because of how the Kirk situation went down, I think is a big part of why San Fran was so proactive to get the Jimmy G deal done.
I didn't
want to let this thing get
right.
To the
and
tag.
I always thought like with that one too was the fear of the tag and that cousin situation. I agree with it 100% that played into that deal.
Can I tell you one conversation I had that I found a little interesting? What do you think about a transition tag for Case Keenum if you're the Vikings? I think it could kind of make sense because they don't want to commit a ton of cash to Case. But you can kind of see what happens.
If
I bring up the Vikings because they're obviously going to be a suitor for Kirk Cousins.
I don't know that I go that route with him just because, like, I don't know if anybody's going to throw big money at him like that. I know, and I talking to some people like a month or so ago, the wonder was, like I'm sure everybody knows, is, well, how much was he just a product of that team?
Stud receivers, good line.
Yeah, but then you watch some stuff. It's like that kid made plays too.
Yeah.
It's not like he just was handed this great team. It's like, okay, just drive the car.
Dude, when they played the Skins, he made some throws, especially in that first half.
And it's funny because there's a guy on Twitter, Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback.
Sure.
I was watching that play that he had the route to Thielen, where he takes him inside, cuts back outside. And Breland, because they ran, and even Breland, I remember talking about, they ran that same play, like the second play of the game, same route, except that he didn't cut it back out. So Breland bites on it hard, but then the throw has to be a perfect throw. It was a really great route, but it was a really good throw because there was some duress. He has to move a little bit. So there are definitely skills that he brought to the table. So he definitely, he has value because of what he can do. I don't know. The transition tag to me is hard because of the lack of compensation if you do lose him. And if you do want him, to me, if you want him, what you need to learn from a situation like Washington's is get it done.
Right.
If this is the guy you want, get it done. Don't let it get to a tag, because once it gets to a tag, you're losing leverage.
Yep.
You're losing the situation. And that's, I'm not, you know, blaming one side or another, but the bottom line from this situation is once it gets to a tag, it changes the game.
So, well, let's talk about Kirk then. I think at this point, the Jets, the Vikings, the Broncos are in it. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely in it. No surprises there. I think, to me, I think this thing comes down to how much money Denver is willing to spend. And I think the Jets are going to get to 30 mil. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get to 30 a year. And I think Denver's got to get north of Jimmy G, which is 27, 28. And I think it's going to come down to cash. And
it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
Because we've all heard for the last couple of years, I just want to win.
Right.
All what I've known, what has been a truism for me in sports with athletes and contracts, and it's pretty much a lot like most people, you're going to take the best offer.
Right.
You're going to make the most money you can.
But I think accountants do that. I think architects do that. Listen, I think everybody does that.
Listen, yeah, I would say, why, you know, and now in some cases you might say, okay, would you really take it from this place, this
right,
company?
I don't want to move or
yeah,
something,
and there's,
right.
You know, so it's not always that. If all things are kind of close or equal, you're going to look at other factors. But I do think, like in this case, if you really do want to win, then you find a way to make it work with Minnesota. And because that team is set up for now and for the future.
And Denver has some age on their side.
Correct.
And
so you have a head coach who ended the season, his first season, on the hot seat.
Right.
So is that really a staff that you want to go to?
With legitimate schematic question.
Correct.
Like the Vance Joseph year one wasn't good. And
no.
It wasn't just – I know they had bad quarterback play, but they did – they made bad decisions in game repeatedly.
And yeah. And
like Mike Zimmer's a damn good coach in Minnesota.
And when you'd watch them, like when we saw them play, and I remember watching, I was like, why doesn't C.J. Anderson get the ball more?
Right.
This guy can run. And they're trying to make certain things work with quarterbacks who couldn't do anything. With Cousins, though, we're talking about with Vance Joseph. The one, you know, it's funny because I say that he's on the hot seat, but if you're paying a quarterback $30 million, you better damn well be sure that this guy gets you off the hot seat.
Right.
Because if it's not, then either you clearly had the wrong coach, or you got a guy that couldn't elevate like you had hoped he would.
Well, and I think some NFL teams are wrestling with the same thing the Redskins dealt with the last two seasons.
No doubt.
Is this dude worth the money?
You go back to Case Keenum, is he worth $8 million more than Case Keenum?
Right.
And the only way you can answer in the affirmative is if he does one thing, and that's get you to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because Case Keenum got you the championship game.
Right.
Now,
especially in Minnesota.
And granted,
but I think that will be the standard in Denver if he goes to Denver.
It is. But
at least a play, you know, at least a deep playoff.
But at least with Denver, you can say, okay, if let's say they're 5-11 and they get to 10-6.
Right.
He makes a difference.
Which I think is entirely reasonable with that.
Sure,
roster.
Sure. But so you make a difference. Now, it depends on who they're able to keep and what they have to do. But with Minnesota, there is only one way that he and they can really
right.
win in this whole situation. Now, injuries happen, and just because you're 13-3 one year, we've all seen Atlanta with the same personnel, different, you know, offensive staff, similar same personnel, they took a step back.
Yep.
Because year to year, it's very hard. But if you're paying this guy that kind of money and you're pushing aside a guy who got you that championship game, there's you better get there at some point. And so sometimes part of me wonders, like, is that a situation where you would, even though it's the best fit talent-wise, maybe schematically and all that, but is that what you have to know there's only one way you can justify that move?
Yeah.
And whereas, like, New York, think
in one of the rarest occurrences, I think the least pressure for Kirk would be in New York. Do you know what I mean?
Well, to a degree, but it's still New York.
It's still New York, right.
But, like, you know, I was talking to someone about this.
I can't figure out how to sit in this chair. It's very...
I'm just leaning back.
You look good. I'm too much of a fidgeter. I'm going to try to sit back.
But the one thing with New York, and I was talking about this with someone a week or so ago, that because they asked me, how would Kirk handle being there? It's like, well, you know, it's not this. It's a bigger market than D.C., obviously, and there's going to be more aggressive with the media and all that. But the other thing is, though, like in New York, you got the Giants, you got the Mets.
Right.
In D.C., even though you got other teams, this dominates the discussion right. All the time. So the glare on you is very sharp or very hot. So, you know, I don't know that it necessarily would bother them. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that New York would have to win right away.
Right.
You know, you could
if they go 7-9.
No, I think you better go 9. I think you better get in the 500. You okay. have to be above 500. If you're going to pay a guy $30 million a year. And you can only improve by 2 games, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Something's wrong. So if you're paying him $30 million, you better make sure that you're getting to 9 wins. I think that
they're shedding money. They can afford to get Kirk and somebody else.
And do some and flexible in the future. But right. like, and we all know that, like, just because you pay a guy $30 million doesn't make him a $30 million quarterback. But the expectations are become greater because, you know, just like if I buy a Ford Taurus for $40,000, which I'm not going to do. Maybe that's a bad analogy. I would expect it to perform.
What's a Ford Taurus
cost? But if you're paying for,
I bet you get it all loaded up. I bet you get to $40,000 for a Ford Taurus.
Loaded up, but well, here's the thing.
I don't know.
Here's a little car tip. It devalues. Just buy it used.
Buy used cars. Tell my wife that.
Yeah. Brought to you by Earl Shine.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, just getting that money doesn't make you that, but the expectations will be there for you to perform at a level, and you better elevate guys around you. Because
we both think the Vikings is the best spot for him to land.
Yes.
Where do you think he will land? Because who knows?
I keep saying Minnesota only because I know it's the best fit. But in my gut, I don't know. I mean, like, I would lean toward, if I had to pick one of those teams right now, it would be Minnesota. But my gut tells me that I'm not sure that that's ultimately what it will be, but I can't decide which one it would be, you know, because I think, again, the hard part is to know what are the Jets going to do? And if the Jets come in at 30 and they're $3 or $4 million ahead of everybody else, does he somehow justify, well, I think I can win in New York.
Right.
Because here's the thing.
He's put himself in a position.
He has.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, so we're, you know, and that's one thing I always thought with the Redskins. They never really tested the whole belief that it's, you know, as far as like the offer, would he have signed or would he have not? We really don't know because they never made him an offer in his mind that came close to tempting him. Now, you can say that maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, I think the same is true in this philosophy that if the Jets in the Minnesota, it comes down to Jets in Minnesota and the Jets are $3 million ahead of the Vikings and you go with the Jets, then we know it's okay. Because
wrong with that.
No, it's nothing. But, not at all. I wouldn't fault him for that.
And the quote, you and I talked about this. He said repeatedly, winning's not the thing, I'm sorry, money's not the only thing, But last year, he talked about you've got to do the right thing for the QB market.
Right.
And there are a lot of players that probably feel that way. And beyond just maximizing their own cash, kind of getting over the threshold.
That's also a good way to justify, I'm just taking the top dollar. And I understand what he's saying. And maybe
for sure.
Maybe one person knows how he genuinely feels about that, and that's Kirk Cousins. So maybe he genuinely feels that way. But I'll tell you what, if, you know, we've seen athletes justify their moves based on a number of things. Like, you know, I've seen guys.
Think about Pujols leaving St. Louis where he was a god.
Yeah.
And where do you go? The Angels. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Listen. Like, there were guys who signed.
The cash.
There were guys who signed here with the Redskins. You know, not over the years. Who were like, I know you just took the money, and you're going to say that you're going to come here because you think you can win. It's like, well, you know, what makes you think? What really makes you think that? In certain, not every case, but in some cases. So, you know, a lot of guys will find ways to justify that. And it's okay to just say, like last year, Pierre Garçon wanted one thing, and they were very honest about it. The best, most money, period. That's what he wanted. But they told teams that. So at least it's like, okay, that's completely honest.
Well, and knowing Pierre Bidd, he's a brutal, he's a blunt, honest
yes.
dude. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And so, but usually it's like, well, it's not, but if it is, it's okay.
Right.
I mean, you're human. I mean, listen, here's like you, with that extra $3 million per year, while you can, someone can say, well, how much is enough? Well, what if you say, well, here's my goal. My goal is to, and I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is doing this, but you know, maybe as I get older, I'm getting more philanthropic. I don't know. Maybe I'm just softening up. But what if you say, with this money, I'm going to do this for this charity?
Well, and we know what that is. It the Justice Mission? What
yeah.
is the group he works with all the
International
time?
Justice Mission,
and
something like that. But what if he's going to donate
start
to
start his own
that?
Charity? Or
yeah.
What?
So
he's a man
thing,
of faith. He wants to
right.
start his own church. Who knows?
Now, if you're buying 20 more cars with that, okay. But if you're doing something like you, let's
dude
say,
I'm, still drives that van.
Yeah, and he, yeah. Well, and here's the, and it was, speaking of the money, though, here's the other thing that factors in. I wonder. Because I know this was going to be a factor with California, is that state income tax in
oh,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that, you know, so if Minnesota's offering $3 or $4 million less, it's actually even less because the state income tax situation, where, like I said, California was definitely going to be something that there was, I know that was a topic of discussion.
Did
on
you
that
see
side.
How John Gruden structured his?
Yes, I did.
Pretty yeah. savvy move.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Yeah. All right, let's stop talking Kirk.
Thank you. Why do you always talk about Kirk?
Yeah, man, sorry. You know we'll get those tweets. So
I might tweet it.
Two things. Both Doug Williams and Jay Gruden said they need to upgrade at running back.
Yes.
Doug was more forceful about it. Jay, you know, Doug and Jay have different roles. Jay has to talk to these players, much more interaction.
Doug was very strong. Ain't no doubt about it.
You think they
– Doug is going to break into
song. They draft a running back?
Yeah, I do, and I have for
Where?
A while. I have.
I know you wrote about this, didn't you?
Yeah, I've felt like this for a while, and partly because, I mean, I knew that they wanted that. I knew they felt they had to upgrade there. So yes, I do think that. I think there are a couple of free agents I think are tempting. I think the name I always come back to is Isaiah Crowell.
Dude, he remember how well he ran against the Redskins?
Correct.
Yeah.
And before and after that game, players talked about him a certain way.
Yep.
And I know some of it's like, it's not just a matter of, well, they're playing him this week. What else are you going to say? Well, you know what they say about other guys and other teams. Like, you could talk to guys, like, we both talk to guys off the record before a game, just chatting about stuff. Hey, what do you think about this guy? And they'll sometimes tell you, like, he's not that good. We just have to, we should stop this guy. He's not that good. With Crowell, it was all, like, there was a lot of high praise for him off the record after that. And even, like, late in the year, I was talking to someone who happened to drop his name in a way where it's like, it wasn't about free agency. It wasn't about anything other than we were just casually talking about the Brown situations, like, and it's like, and their offense, like, and they got Crowell too. So it was more about they think he's
a player, right?
And so that's a guy, like, if you get him in free agency, maybe then you don't draft one.
Right.
But I think.
And the money's not crazy.
Correct.
For Crowell.
But the way Doug Williams talked about it with the other day with us was just how deep it was at that position in the draft. So there are really good options in the second, third, fourth round.
Who do you think's gone then? I mean, ultimately, you got to do some roster construction here, right?
Oh, and as far as a guy on their team?
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing with that. Would they keep four running backs? Because maybe you only keep three tight ends and four backs after last year.
Right.
And, you know, because you're not, I don't think you can get rid of Samaje Perine. You just can't.
No, he's drafted him. Right.
Yeah, he's on a good deal.
He's shown some potential.
He did. And, like, he got.
Late in the year, he ran much better.
He got better, and his yards after contact improved. You know, his patience improved. So I would want to continue to have him. I would worry about Rob Kelly, as tough as he is. You know, somebody's going to be left out. And also, Jay has brought these names up a couple times. You know this, late in the year, Byron Marshall, Capri Bibbs.
And Marshall looked all right. Now he got, you know.
And I think the other thing is, here's another thing, too. When Chris Thompson went down, they didn't have anybody to fill that role. Now, they found Marshall, but they didn't have anybody in that roster to fill that role. And so
found Bibbs.
Right. So I just wonder if they might keep one of those guys to have another potential third down guy who could also help on special
teams. And they use that role so much.
Correct.
But, you know, Jay talked about a banger. He's like, we need a first and down, a second down guy, and we need a third down. It seems like they are willing or perhaps entering into a total rebuild at the running back position. And I say that knowing Thompson's absolutely going to be back, and I certainly believe Perine's going to be back.
Yeah.
But it seems like. It almost seems like they want different functionality of what they do.
Well,
in the
and I, he brought the word being able to be
all
multiple.
Around. Or something.
So,
yeah.
You know, they had some interest in Christian McCaffrey last year.
Yeah.
I've been told there was some interest in Dalvin Cook.
I don't know. 13.
Well, 13 I think is too high.
Right.
So to like
44 is a different situation.
44, and that's why I think that would be a spot where you would look at that. Now, of course, it depends what happens in free agency, you know, or if you somehow move back in the first round later in the first round.
If they do trade back and you get to 26 or
yeah.
where a kid like Geis might make sense.
Yeah. And I still would be reluctant to pick one in the first, depending on the separate, you know, how much is the gap between these guys, because there are other guys I think that they could benefit from in that first round. And so but yeah, I do think that they're gonna, I mean, I've always thought they were gonna try and upgrade there. And like Doug's like, we averaged 1.4 yards a carry. It's like, well, that was a little bit of an exaggeration, but it
like
certainly
going
shows
a specific stat that like
I didn't know
that
like,
wasn't it.
Well, I wasn't sure at first if he was talking about yards after contact,
right?
And but he just said we averaged 1.4 yards. Like, well, either that or he's just being like really, you know, making a strong point that whatever they did wasn't good enough.
Right.
And that's true. And it wasn't all on the running backs per se. You know, they've always talked about, you know, you need better tight end blocking, you need better receiver blocking, and you need, you know, better up front. So it's a collective effort, but you also want a guy who can create on their own. And I think that's been one of the big criticisms for them.
One of the best things that Kelly does, if he can stay healthy,
he
makes guys miss.
He does, but to a certain level.
Right.
Now, you want, like, I think he's excellent.
He's really good at making the first guy miss.
He's excellent at avoiding negative carries. And he can get you, if you're negative three, he can get you to three or four.
That's why he really got that job over Matt Jones.
Correct.
It seems like
I love that about him. But what I think they're looking for then is the guy who can make that second level miss. Because when you make the second level miss, you got big gains.
Right.
That's what they're looking for.
Make a guy miss, but then pick the wrong hole.
Right.
You know, I mean,
And I think that's what they're looking for. I think you look at guys, you know, the name I heard the year before was a guy like Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, guys like that.
Kamara. Why you hear so much about Sony.
Because he's a kid,
he fits a pattern.
And like Kamara, you can do different things with that guy. And then, like, if you have a guy like that, you're not going to use he and Chris Thompson together a ton, but it's an option. And you may use it three times a game, but it's an option for you. And they can, you know, Jay Gruden, I think, is creative enough and good enough with the play calls to create mismatches out of those looks. So I think that, like, a guy like Kamara would be perfect, but you can say that about him for most teams.
Right. That guy's,
you know,
really good.
It's like, duh.
Right, yeah.
Tom Brady would be perfect for any team.
right. So we've been out here a bunch. We've been talking to people and watching some of these kids. I've talked to a few prospects. I'm sure you have too. They're kind of secluded, but you still see them. Dream scenario for the Redskins, who they taking at 13? Who's their ideal?
Boy, I mean, I think that's really hard because we don't know what happens in free agency. I think it's so contingent on that. For example, like, what if they don't address the defensive line in free agency?
Right.
Well, then you got Vea and Payne.
The flip side, what if they sign Zach Brown back? then, right. then do you draft Roquan? Because does no, that really
you don't.
Make sense?
No, right. you don't. So I think, but if you don't re-sign Zach Brown, but I think my guess is
what
you,
if they sign Benny Logan? Then Vita's not
correct,
guy, right.
or Don Terry Poe. So I think that's where it depends. So I think what we know is they want to upgrade a running back. Well, you're not going to take a 13. They want a fast receiver. You're not going to take that at 13. I doubt that.
Right.
But I think so. I'm going to look at defense, and then it's like I know you and Jay Gruden talked about this, but you know that they want to upgrade their continue to add to their interior. And you can get Ioannidis and Jonathan Allen and another rookie. Now you have building
young
blocks.
Core, right.
And for the first time in a long time, you look and say their defense actually has a good young core. You know, or if a guy like if they think James from Florida State's going to be a big time playmaker, but the way they talked about Monte Nicholson and DJ Swearinger,
yep.
I think they feel like as long as Monte Nicholson is healthy, they're pretty good there. You know, I think there's
one name I've heard a bunch is Josh Jackson. I think they.
Just going to go to corner, and that was the guy. Yeah, absolutely, and I like him a lot too. Unfortunately, I saw him have his best game.
Oh, against
against Ohio State. But he's really good.
That was the loss that cost them the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not even trying to rub it.
He deserved not to make it out of that
right.
debacle. But that's the other spot.
He's got good size, too. And a lot
yes.
of corners, their corners are mostly smaller.
yeah.
And Jackson would probably be the tallest guy in that room. Don't you?
I think
he goes a legit 6'2".
I think so, yeah. But, like, in you know, Dunbar has good length
Dunbar's
of his arms. And Josh Norman's about 6'. He's got a little bit longer arms.
Dunbar's really rangy. Long dude.
He is. So that's a guy that, yes, I could see that as well. And again, what happens in free agency? And we know.
I don't even know if we asked Jay about this, but I think we both think Breland's still gone, right?
Yeah, I still.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I think the trade of Fuller or when the trade is announced.
Right. As we've been reminded repeatedly.
Yeah, after that, I thought, okay, maybe there's a chance because I know you wrote about this and we hear all the same stuff a lot. No, we don't hear
similar
all the same
stuff.
Similar stuff.
Yeah.
But you knew it's like, okay, you knew that it was a long shot. He was back, and it didn't, honestly, if you're playing, and I like Breland a lot. I've always liked that kid.
He's fun.
I like
fun
him.
Fun to talk to.
I have liked talking to him. I like the kid.
Well, and you have in-depth football conversations with him. I ask him about his goofy T-shirts and stuff.
But they're all.
And he's
but that's
fun
all
about
good.
All of it.
He
right?
is.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he didn't get the credit that maybe was warranted for what he knows about the game.
Sure.
But having said all that, you had Kendall Fuller at the time at the season's end. You had Kendall Fuller. And you drafted Moreau in the third round last year, knowing that he was a higher pick if he's healthy. So if you build your roster right, you can then have a guy slip
in. They started backfilling a little.
And yes, because like too often in the past, what they do is they let a guy go and then replace him with a more expensive guy.
Right.
And that's not smart.
Let's do this rapid fire because we both got to run. Billy Price tore his pec.
Yeah.
What a shitty situation. The kid's out here working out for scouts. You can argue they shouldn't even have to do that because they've just played college football for 4 years.
Good player.
A good player. A first rounder, I think, prior to
player.
The torn pec.
Mm-hmm.
If Billy Price is there at 44 because of this injury, that would fit the mold of what the Skins did with Kendall Fuller, what they did with Fabian Moreau, trying to get value via injury.
And he's a good player.
Right.
And I know like they you know Chase Roullier, they like him, but he's got some versatility to him too.
If we've learned one thing from the Eagles is and really from any good team ever, you can never have enough good linemen.
And
look at who the Skins were starting half the season.
Correct. And they have actually invested in their line over the years because they have higher picks on that line.
Right.
But yes, I agree with you. Listen to me. If he's your best
top 10 picks on their O line.
Yeah, if he's your best guy there, and you think the value is there, then you win by picking good players.
Totally.
You don't win by just filling needs. You win by picking good players.
All right, last one.
That's the name of my book when it comes out one day.
I like it. Will you sign it for me?
No.
I won't sign it, and I'll charge you full price. A straight up or down yes or no vote on this. Will they draft a quarterback?
I'm going to lean no, but the only way I can see it is sixth or seventh round.
So they're not going to get Laletta.
I don't see it.
I think that guy might go Friday night.
Yeah, I don't. I, mainly because and Jay brought this up, but it's also something I've been, you know, I'd heard before, that he wants the two quarterbacks, and you look at last year as the main reason why. I think they're going to be scarred by last year in a couple ways because of all the injuries. We may see some moves and keep more at certain positions because of it, but this is another one where can you afford to keep that third guy if you have all these injuries?
He did talk about that. And seeing Sudfeld win a Super Bowl ring had to sting a little.
A little bit.
That organization liked Nate. They didn't want to let Nate go.
No,
Doug liked him. Scott likes him.
But Nate didn't play so well that he forced him to be on the roster. But and I think the Eagles have done probably a pretty good job developing him too. But yes, that was. But that's the only way I could see if you get a guy 6th, 7th round, and maybe you can develop into a backup.
I like the kid Mike White.
Yeah, I think he'd be an intriguing one too. Because I think your next, like, if you want to groom a guy to be a starter, it's in the next year or two.
Right. Well, and Alex is at least going to be the Redskins quarterback for 3 years. He's got a year left on his deal, and the first 2 years of that thing.
He is not Donovan McNabb 2.0. How good he is,
right.
But in terms of his physical conditioning, there's not going to be any stamina issues in 2 minute drills.
Oh,
let's just
gosh.
Say. So he takes really good care of himself like that, so he can play as long as you're productive. Health-wise, he can play for several more years. So I don't think the urgency is there to get that guy and develop him now. Because let's say you draft a guy in the 2nd, 3rd round now. Well, is he really going to play?
Right.
He's not.
Even if it means not being true to your draft board and that guy's there, you can't do it.
Late round is where I would look only.
Late Saturday afternoon makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Follow John Keim on Twitter. At John_Keim, is that right?
Yeah, it is.
All right, and here's, I need you guys to do me a favor. Tweet at Keim that he needs to join Instagram, because I think you would enjoy it, man. It's Facebook with no politics. It's all fun on Instagram.
Dude, that's putting something else on my plate. You know, one of these days
I'll got enough to handle?
I don't do this my face and all that.
Snap face?
Yeah,
snap I will say face. This. Keim is working his butt off at the combine. Like, for me to wrangle him for whatever, however long we've talked, 20, 25 minutes, you never stop hustling, dude.
Well, part of that, but you got me away from Jason Reed, so it was okay.
That's true. All right, Keim, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Folks, thank you guys for listening. I think the reviews are there. We are going to announce the podcast party this week. It's coming. You guys better be there. As always, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.